The people of God enter into the good land, the young, new generation. If the older generation wouldn't want to do it, well, I hope the younger generation will do it. Right. And I do hope that there will also be some corporate Caleb and Joshua to accompany our young generation into the good land. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. And now you can realize the Lord needs a young army. How can you enter into the good land to chase away all the enemies and to defeat them, the giants especially, if you don't fight the battle? You know, we have so little concept of the spiritual battle that we are fighting because we want to have a comfortable, relaxing, gemütliches. There is no equivalent of this word in German, which means what?
Comfortable
heavenly bed swinging you into the good land. No such thing. Right. When the Lord came to this earth. What? Okay.
Huh? Can you speak up a little bit?
Huh?
Can you speak up a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it, yeah.
It's on.
Maybe you can turn on the thing a little bit more. Is it possible? Yeah, Freddie would. Okay,
well, no,
yeah, that's
work.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it better?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's better, right? Okay. When the Lord came to this earth to accomplish His will, you think He had a good time? He was just relaxed every day, lying on a beach of Galilee with Peter and James and John and Matthew, and go boating, kayaking, to accomplish His will. Did He do that? Hiking every day, go fishing? No, definitely not. Oh, He never had a good time. Now, in the book of Acts, did the apostle all have a good time?
Yeah.
Doing everything just by grace?
Yeah.
Yes, by grace. But, hey, your concept of grace is different than the scriptural concept of grace. You just know Ephesians 2, verse 8. Doing nothing. Right? Free. Everything is free. Well, learn from the parables of the virgins. You have to go buy.
Yes.
Pay the price. Learn from the word the Lord said to Laodicea. Come and buy of me gold. You willing to pay? The first portion of the oil is free, by faith, given to you as a gift, birthday present. Everybody gets a birthday present, right? Happy birthday. A wonderful present, free. But then when you start to grow in your Christian life, it's not free anymore. You want to have some pocket money, go wash the car. $5. Well, you have to wash the car. Right? Stefan, didn't you wash the car? You think your daddy didn't just give you the money free? Wash the car.
Right.
Isn't it true?
Oh, yeah.
Do some work.
Yes.
Clean your room. Yeah, mow the lawn.
All the time.
All the time, especially in your house. There's so much work to do.
Newspaper.
Right? Yeah. Get a job. Right? Well, That should be very normal. You think in our spiritual life God wants to spoil you by his grace? What did Titus say? Chapter 2, verse what? 11, I guess. I cannot remember anymore. The grace came to give you free for everything. Bottomless drink. The grace came to train you.
Amen.
First training, do not love this world and not love your flesh and yourself. You need to get rid of it. Do you want to learn that? You have to pay the price to do that. To deny your soul life.
Yes.
Right. So, you never learn that. I don't care how much grace you have. It'll be wasted. Paul said, I labor more than anybody else. More than all the apostles. But not I, he says. But the grace of God in me. So does it mean that if the grace of God is in you, you don't need to labor anymore? Read 2 Corinthians. Read 2 Corinthians. Then you will understand what Paul is talking about. He went through so much suffering, trials, fighting. He suffered. He bore the burden. He fasted. He prayed. He went through all kinds of trials, shipwreck, hunger, and everything. Right? All by grace. Using grace, wow. Paul became a wonderful tourist. He went everywhere to have a tour. Paid for. Free ticket. Cruise. I can't win the cruise. No.
December shipwreck.
He suffered.
The cruise went down.
He suffered everything, all kinds of challenges. You think it's easy? You want to be poor? No, it is not easy. So, you should really and truly realize that our concept is fallen. That's your natural concept concerning grace. And grace must be followed by truth.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And this wonderful grace is the real person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into you, it's easy for you to live him? If somebody tells me it's so easy to live Christ, immediately I know this person doesn't know Christ. Is it easy to be an engineer, a computer, software, I don't know what you call yourself, engineer? Is it easy? By grace, you're an engineer. No, it's not that easy. Definitely not easy. If it were so easy, then all the seven churches in the book of Revelation would have been perfected. Right? Isn't it true? Don't you think they have grace?
They do.
How come they didn't make it? What kind of grace are you talking about? What about now we're gaining Christ as our good land? This is a higher grace.
Mm-hmm.
In kindergarten is also grace. It's a lot of candy, a lot of playing and drawing, singing, dancing around. We went to attend a program of Chinese preschool. Full of grace. Really full of grace. But if you go up to elementary school, it's also full of grace, but it's a different grace now. In elementary school and preschool, no homework. Kindergarten. Well, a lot of fun. First grade, second grade, third grade, oh my.
Less fun,
more work. Then you go to high school. My. Then you go to college. All fun? Well, you have a lot of help. You have good professors. Right? You have some tutors. Lectures, assistants, helping you. A lot of grace. But this grace are not to help you to have some fun. No. It's to help you to really make it and to make you work hard. You know, a good professor will not do your homework for you. Right? Nisa, your professor does your homework for you? He gave you a lot of homework, and you have to do it. You have to learn. They want to make sure you learn. You sing the anointing, he just give you grace, and you do nothing. Then you really don't know the anointing. I will call this the higher grace. There are many, many ways of learning, many, many ways. In college, you cannot have a kindergarten teacher to teach you there. Right? I should hope so, right? No, right? Cannot do that. Nobody does that. Why do you think our God will do that? He wants to keep you in kindergarten, spiritual kindergarten. That's why it's called a garden. Kindergarten. It's a garden for children. A lot of toys lying around. I swing. Slide. Climbing. And you have a lot of grace there because people are there watching so that you don't fall, right? That's grace. But now, as a grown-up person, you need a different kind of grace.
Amen.
You need grace and truth. Yeah, you need light. You need to know righteousness. Grace without righteousness, you'll be a spoiled brat. You have to learn righteousness. God is not only all grace. What about righteousness? What about holiness? Does grace give you a right to lie? So, dear saints, learn. Now, today we need to get into our inheritance. It is a big responsibility because the inheritance is with a view of God's plan. It's not just for you to have a place to stay. It's not just for you to have a piece of land so that you can exist and live and have something to eat. No, it is much, much more than that. Remember, on the way God told them, right after they came out of Egypt, I'm going to make you a nation of priests. And you're going to be my special treasure. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. Do you think it's easy to be a priest? Tell me the truth. Is it easy to be a priest? You think serving God is easy? You just play around and sit in your office, read some books, prepare a film message, sing a few songs, and God is happy. Wow, it's so easy to make God happy. Happy church life. No, sorry to disappoint you. Yes, we have joy. But my joy today is different than my joy 70 years ago. Or is your joy the same as when you were 2 years old? Different enjoyment. Right? Your view is different.
Amen.
Your outlook, your goal is different.
Yes. Amen.
So, with that wonderful inheritance in front of us, you can really see the responsibility comes with it. Right. You want to buy a house? Yeah. Or rent a place of your own? Yes. After you bought it, you'll regret it a little bit. Because now you have to do some cleaning work. And you have to take care of the house. And then if you have a little garden there, oh my, you have to mow the lawn. And then if something is wrong, you have to fix it. Right? You have to maintain it. There's a lot of work to do. Right. So, God is giving us a wonderful piece of land, and His view is that it's going to be a nation. Wow, a nation is more than just a garden.
Yes.
A farm. It is a farm too. But it's not only a farm, it's a building work. And then it's going to be a nation, a kingdom. And the throne of God is going to be there. And out of that wonderful piece of inheritance, God is going to rule over the whole earth. You think it's easy? Let's take the land. After you take the land, what happened to God's people? At the very end, they lost it. You take it today and you lose it tomorrow. If you don't do according to God's word, you're going to lose the land. Then you'll have to say, you'll have to sing in the beginning, let's take the land, and then some years later, we've lost the land. We've lost the land. The land that God has given us.
Bad news.
In the beginning we sang, let's take the land. At the end we've lost the land. It happened. Don't think once you possess it, you're going to possess it always. It just isn't that simple. Because the enemy is fighting. He wants to get it back. Doesn't the situation today in the Middle East shows you? And you think we are in a better position? There's a universal robber. There is a destroyer. His name is Apollyon. Abaddon. And a thief. And a murderer. And a liar. And he's going to steal things away from you. He wants to destroy. If you're not careful, he'll use you. Don't think the enemy is going to destroy just by himself. He's going to use you to destroy. Use me to destroy. Use anyone that he can use to destroy. Did not Paul warn the elders in Ephesus that after I departed, some wolves will come from outside there, somewhere from nowhere, some wolf is going to come. What did he say? Within whom? Who was he talking to? Huh? Louder, brother, so that everybody can hear you.
The elders who are serving in the church.
Don't accuse me of saying that you will become a wolf, okay? I didn't say that. But Paul warned us, every one of us is a potential wolf. One day you fall into the flesh, your wolf nature came up. Even the ravenous wolves, not sparing the flock. So, we all need to be careful. We all need to see, yeah. Hey, and be watchful. Yeah. Why does the Lord say, be watchful? Pray and be watchful. Why? Because there's the enemy running around. There's a whole army of them. And we still have his flesh there. So, we all need to really see. Mm. Right, the inheritance, yes, is wonderful. And you need to see that inheritance is wonderful. But you also need to be careful. Because the enemy is there to destroy. And the history of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament times is really a warning to all of us. Nothing is more troublesome than if the leading ones become a trouble for the church. I said that some years ago already. Because if the leading ones do not listen to the Lord, then the whole church will not listen. What happened years ago?
Yes.
If Jasmine caused trouble, it will not destroy the church in Fountain Valley. You're a small fish. But if he caused trouble, I caused trouble. That would be something else. A small fighting fish, it will not cause trouble. A shark. It's going to destroy. Right. So we all need to wake up and see.
Amen.
Lord, we want to make it.
Amen.
It's a nice, wonderful song to see. Let's take the land. And I like it. Wonderful. Yes, that's right. You may be very burning in the beginning to take the land, but after a few years you become complacent. You settle down and you're comfortable. Then you're not watchful anymore. Everything is okay. Everything becomes a routine work. Even if you're going downhill, you would know it. Because the deterioration goes very slow. This is, the Germans call it the salami tactic. You know, the salami is a long verse like this.
Sausage.
And the sausage. You know salami. You're American, you can buy salami, right? And they cut it slowly, slowly. Very thin slices. The thinner it is, the better it tastes. Why, you think you still have such a big piece? You don't realize it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you don't miss it. And that's what the enemy is doing. You know, the enemy is very patient. He knows he cannot destroy you overnight. But he can take you 40 years to destroy you. Doesn't matter when, as long as you will be destroyed, real good. We are very impatient. But not the devil. So, may the Lord really open our eyes and really see that this wonderful inheritance is not just for you to enjoy, but along with it is the whole plan of God.
Amen.
If it's just a piece of land, it's very simple. But if it's a nation, that's something else. Right. If it's a kingdom, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even just for itself. It's for the Lord God with us to rule over the whole earth. So, in this wonderful inheritance, you have a lot of employment to do. You're employed.
Yes.
As what?
Priest.
Firstly, as a farmer.
Farmer and priest.
Because you have to work on hard work to be a farmer. Why is it nobody wants to be a farmer? It's hard work. Paul says, these two hands of mine. He didn't say, my spirit, this is my hands. Today it was our spirit, everything. He said, spirit, 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 spirit. As if you have no more hands. He says, these two hands of mine labor day and night to feed myself and the co-workers. He labored. Right? To be a farmer in a good land, to gain Christ, to gain the produce, to gain the harvest, because it is a farm. It's a wonderful farmland. Right? We need to labor on it. Meaning to say, it's hard work. It takes some diligence, endurance, care. If you're lazy, you can forget it. Don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. So later on, you can really see Peter, 2 Peter, used the word diligence so often. Be diligent. You think spiritual things does not need our diligence? Can you be lazy in your work? Don't let your boss catch you sleeping, okay? Napping, when you're working, you're napping. I think you're going to lose your job. I never read in the Bible that we can just do nothing and then we'll be mature. No. If you're not mature today, one day you woke up, you're just the same. When the virgins went to sleep, they woke up with exactly the same amount of oil they had. No magic. And no grace. Give me your oil free. Give me your oil. What did the wise virgin says? No, take grace, take grace. They say, goodbye, goodbye. Say, goodbye and goodbye. Go and bye and have a goodbye. What can you do? Grace? Yes. But you need to earn it. Right. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on us. Right. So this good land is wonderful. Firstly, your first employment is you gain Christ. You have to gain Him. And the word gain, that I may gain. What does it imply here, the word gain?
You have to work.
What are you going to do to gain weight? You better eat properly. If you're lazy, you don't want to eat, no appetite, you're not going to gain weight. You're going to lose weight. Paul says, I will slowly go on like a turtle. And hopefully I will reach the goal. Or maybe. Maybe, right? Did he say that?
No, I press on.
Press on.
Press on. No, that's not grace. If you have grace, why do you need to press on? Press on. You need to learn to forget the past and count all things lost. But if you appreciate the past so much, how are you going to go on? You think you already have it, then how are you going to go on? Right. So, we need to really press on.
Amen.
Work
Amen.
Out your own salvation.
Amen.
Yeah, work it out. Practice.
Yes.
Labor. And God is there to help you. That's the grace.
Mm.
But the grace does not mean you don't labor and work it out with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling? Do you need fear and trembling? Why?
Elation.
Yeah. Because if you're lazy, you missed it. you're going to get it. Not the goal, but... Yeah. So, the whole Bible actually told us and tells us to be diligent. No one who is not diligent in the Spirit can gain Christ. Yeah. Paul says that I may gain him.
Amen.
I want to know him. Yeah. If by any means, he didn't say by grace, I will attain. This is not a word of a baby. This is not a word of a naive Christian. This is a word of an apostle, a mature man, spiritual mature man, telling us how to press on. And he says, let's all walk by this rule. Rule?
Yeah.
What rule? I hate rules.
Sorry.
You don't need rules. You need grace. How about that? What's wrong with having a rule? You mean to say if you take grace, you don't need any more rule? You can be just doing anything? So, be reasonable, people. Be grown-ups. Be grown-ups. Like what Paul says, don't be babes anymore. Hey, Paul is talking to Christians. Do not be any more babes. So we all need to see that with this land, for us to gain, for us to sow, to water, if nobody plants, nobody sows, you expect God to give the growth. Is it possible? It is not possible. Paul has a plant. Apollos have to water. And he's just using himself as an example. Then it's God who makes to grow. But if nobody sows, and nobody... If we don't sow... A guava tree and an orange tree, we just pray every day, Lord. Oh Lord, give us a guava tree. And a sweet one, Lord. And you know, the one that I really want is those big, big guavas, Lord. You know, you are the creator. Gave me by your grace a guava tree. We can pray every day for 1,000 years. You're not going to have a guava tree. I will tell you very simply, go to Home Depot. Get some seeds, dig the ground, and water it every day and pray. Then your prayer will work.
Yes. That's right.
Then God will bless the guava tree. That's the way to labor in the good land, you know. Need to learn how to do it. May the Lord have mercy on us to see. So the first employment in the good land is labor. You have to work. That's why the Lord says, you bring to me the fruit of your labor. Right. We all know that a vineyard needs a lot of work. you don't believe, you go and ask Ansel Elgin. He'll tell you. Needs a lot of work. You think God's vineyard doesn't need a lot of work? Even the father himself has to be a husbandman, yeah. A farmer.
Yeah.
That's what John 15 says. And the Lord is the true vine, and we are the branches. You think you bring forth fruit automatically? You have to be trimmed, pruned. All the leaves have to be cut off. So much work to do. Right. Then you will bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, what happens? He'll be so merciful to you, and you'll just be hanging there. Huh? No, come on. You mean to say he doesn't care for the non-fruit-bearing branch?
He wants a vine that produces fruit.
Huh?
He wants a vine that produces fruit.
Yeah, but he's a God of mercy. Full of lovey-dovey, love. He doesn't have a heart to cut off the unfruitful branches.
That's what it says.
Hmm?
It's written.
It's written. Yeah. You are right. I have nothing to say. It's written. You know, if there are an extra many unfruitful branches there, it's going to prevent the fruitful branch from bearing fruit.
Right.
Right. Learn from the parable. Learn from the vine tree. So, a lot of work. Do not be afraid of spiritual work. Remember what Paul said. Remember what all the apostles do as an example. They went through trials, difficulties, facing trouble. At the end, they were martyred. So, you still want to work for God? Really? You want to work for God? Prepare for trouble? Ah, Lord Jesus, we all have a lot of strange concepts. Right. And then in that good land, you have a spiritual temple today. A temple. Jerusalem. It's chosen by God. You need to really see. To have a good land without Jerusalem is unthinkable. It's unthinkable. So Jerusalem is important. And Jerusalem is a temple of the living God. Not just a house. A house is for dwelling. What about the temple? What is the temple for?
To bring worship.
For worship. That's why you have a second job, which is a more important job. To be a priest. And it's related. For us today, you have a dual job. You are a part-time farmer. Well, I shouldn't say part-time. You are a full-time farmer and a full-time priest.
Yes.
Oh, you have to learn Leviticus. As much as you don't like to read it, you have to learn. Don't think to follow and do according to God's will is not important. No. Somebody ask a question of what does it mean to offer strange fire like Nadab and Abihu? Oh. Very simple. Doing what God did not command them to do. You don't do things according to the word of God, you think you will not be consumed. Of course, today you will not be consumed by physical fire, okay? No more a physical fire from heaven to consume you. But there's another fire there that will consume you. You will suffer some spiritual loss. I believe very strongly in Hebrews 12 that when Paul wrote this saying that our God is a consuming fire, he's thinking about that. That's why he says we have to serve with reverence and godly fear, meaning to say to do according to what God says. If God doesn't say it, don't do it. And if God says it, do it, don't change it. It's not that hard. Don't ask why. God tells you to do it. Why? Why? Right? Bring me the offering. Why? I want to burn the offering. Why? Why? Why do you have to do it? Why do you have to use the word offering? Why not use the word sharing? Why? Tell me why. Why do you have to say, I have to bring an offering?
Because it's written.
I don't see it. I can't see it. I don't see it in the Bible. The fact that you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. There are a lot of things you don't see. The Jews didn't see anything. Have you ever heard of a sickness called blindness?
Yes.
I don't see it. I admit there are a lot of things I don't see. It doesn't mean it's not there. So, we better all learn. Tell the Father, Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
What do you think? The Lord told Paul to go and open their eyes. It's because they don't see it. You don't see it.
Amen.
The fishermen could see it. But the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders, they don't see it. So what would you prefer to be? A blind Pharisee or a fisherman that can see? Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we really need to do the priestly service in the temple, the house of the living God.
Amen.
The spiritual house there. The temple of the living God.
Amen.
And the top thing that we do in the temple of God is to bring the true worship to the Father.
Amen.
And in Ezekiel, concerning the temple, and the top thing to do there is what the sons of Zadok are doing. Don't think all services are created equal. How many kind of different jobs are now?
Thousands.
Thousands. Are they all the same jobs? No. Some are lower, some are higher. Some are even higher. Some are in the top tier. Different kinds of jobs. In the priestly service, exactly the same. And I hope that we will all be so faithful, like the sons of Zadok. This is very important. All of these are written for us to learn. And then that finally, for God's kingdom, you are going to be a king too. To rule and reign. You think it's easy to be a king? 做王容易吗? Is it easy to be a king? Try to rule over Fountain Valley. Just Fountain Valley. It is not easy. No, it is not easy to be a king to rule with Christ. We think it's so easy, right? You think it is easy? So it all depends. If you want to be a real king, don't be one today.
Yeah.
If you try to be one today, you're going to lose your kingship when the Lord comes. It's not wise to be a king today. You'd be a slave today.
Amen.
And you'll be a king with him. Be a faithful slave today, and you will rule with him when he comes back. This is the whole view of the wonderful inheritance. So in this wonderful inheritance, eventually you inherit it, and finally it was the inheritance of God. So God becomes your inheritance and you become his inheritance.
Amen.
Right. Let us read Ephesians chapter 1. This is God's plan before the foundation of the world already. This is really one of his many spiritual blessings. Yeah. Verse 11, in him we also have obtained an inheritance.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In Christ Jesus we have obtained an inheritance, or we will obtain. What is it? We have obtained. Not we will obtain. Being predestined. Oh, wow. This is predestinated by God. According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Right? And then sealed, verse 13, with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance.
Amen.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption, the final redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you're guaranteed. God even gave you a guarantee.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the first fruits of our inheritance. It's a foretaste. Today, it is by the Holy Spirit in the reality that we will be led into the reality of all of this purpose, the fulfillment of this wonderful purpose. God gave us a guarantee that by this Holy Spirit and you're sealed with it, God is going to gain this wonderful inheritance. This wonderful inheritance, if you are faithful to follow the Holy Spirit, you will gain it. The final redemption is yet to come. And if you missed it in the millennial kingdom, the Holy Spirit will make sure through some kind of a no grace. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, beating and cut into many pieces. Through a lot of... Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Right. You can really see what happened. Oh, boy. Right. And then you see what happened. You're disqualified here. So the Spirit is making sure that you will not lose your inheritance, but in the millennial kingdom, this is the reward. If you are fully saved to the uttermost, this will be it. If you are disqualified, then you'll have to go through here, and then you go to new heaven and new earth. So, the inheritance is a big inheritance. God is very economical. He has a big plan, a great plan for this universe. And his plan depends on how you deal with your inheritance.
Yes. Amen.
That's why I cannot just go on so quickly and go to the next point and then to the next point. No. It's very difficult for me to make an outline. You don't need an outline, this is the outline. A wonderful inheritance. And you need to see. Right. No wonder Paul says, I want to press on. I want to lay hold of it. And I want to make it.
Amen.
Right. So praise the Lord. That's why. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory,
Amen.
May give you much, much grace.
Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
To have the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Amen.
That you may know.
Yeah.
The hope of his calling,
Amen.
The riches of the glory, now of his inheritance,
yes.
In the saints. So whose inheritance is it?
It's now his inheritance.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? My goodness. You don't realize how much power will be invested into this. You look at the investment of a nation. How much is put into it? Manpower, money power, military power, economic power, industrial power, all kinds of power invested to have a strong nation. What about God's kingdom? No power? Just in German? having a good time, having fun and singing, we sing our way into the kingdom. You think you're going to sing your way into the kingdom? Keep singing. So, may the Lord really open our eyes. Now,
amen.
Let us come back here to the point. Before I go to C and D, let me jump to olive oil. Oil. In point E, because it is related to the brooks of water and fountains of spring, because the oil is also the spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the difference between water and oil?
Water is to drink liquid.
And oil is to anoint.
Do you drink oil? You better not drink oil, right? Well, maybe one tablespoon of olive oil may be helpful for your digestion. I don't know. But according to the Bible, the oil is not for drinking. The water is for drinking, because drinking is with life, something to do with your life. You need the spirit of life.
Amen.
But just life, 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 life is not adequate. No, there is another wonderful aspect of the Holy Spirit. That's why even in the book, in the New Testament, in the Gospel, and in the book of Acts, firstly you have the breath of life. Right? And then during the day of Pentecost, you have, wow, a mighty wind pouring out the Holy Spirit. And it's like fire sitting on your head. And then you'll be, and all the apostles, they were clothed with what? Power from on high.
Lord, amen.
So you have a different aspect, the aspect of oil.
Amen.
Oil, olive oil,
amen.
Pure olive oil, number one. Right? So, the lampstand, you put water in the lampstand, and you try to catch water. Huh? I've never seen a hydro-powered lampstand. You cannot fill a lampstand with water and expect it to shine. What do you fill it with?
Oil.
The lampstand needs oil. Oil is for burning. And that burning is to give light to everyone in the house and even to the whole world. You need oil. The olive oil in the Bible is very precious. And that's why in Zechariah chapter 4, you have the golden lampstand there, and then you have a big bowl on top, full of oil, with my... How many tubes flowing down?
Tubes.
How many lamps?
Seven.
And how many tubes in each lamp?
Seven. That's right. Seven times.
And 7 times 7 equals?
49.
49 tubes coming down there. You think each lampstand needs 49, needs 7 tubes? Why? Because in case one got plucked up, you still have 6 tubes. God wants to make sure that the oil keeps flowing. And then you have how many olive trees?
Two.
Producing what?
Oil.
Are you one of those olive trees? What are you?
Sons of oil.
A papaya tree? What kind of tree? Left. And right of that wonderful golden lampstand, you can see two olive oil, and these two olive oils are producing oil. In the church life, we don't have people producing oil, you're in trouble. No wonder the lampstand is not shining. It is singing, but it's not shining. The piano doesn't need oil. Guitar. Do you need oil in the guitar in order to give noise? But the lampstand needs the oil, filled with not only old oil, but fresh oil.
Amen.
And the lampstand in the holy place, in the holy place, should not run out of oil. And this is the job of the real priests, taking care of the holy place, is to make sure that this oil is always full and fresh.
Amen.
Don't try to freshen the old rancid oil.
Rancid.
Oh yeah, I forgot the English word. I'm all mixed up in the language. You think God wants oil from last year? Or oil that was used, refiltered? Oh, some people, in some countries in the Far East, they recycled oil from a restaurant and sold it as new oil. Dangerous. Maybe you can use it for your diesel car, but not for the restaurant and not for your kitchen. And you think if you use such kind of an oil in the lampstand, God will accept it? He'll treat you like Nadab and Abihu. You better remember those two names. Fresh oil, olive oil. Right. And then it must be made in, mixed into anointing oil.
Amen.
And this anointing oil must be concocted together in exactly according to the specification in Exodus 30.
Right. Amen.
Not more, not less. All the ingredients. And you cannot use it for yourself. And don't try to reproduce it and make fake anointing made in China. I don't care if even if it's made in Germany. It has to be exactly done and used for its purpose only, according to the will of God. And no anointing will come to the flesh. And everything related to the heavenly work of God must be anointed. Make sure it's anointed. Every furniture in God's house must be anointed. The priest must be anointed. The kings will be anointed. Otherwise, you cannot serve. And it is the anointing oil that will sanctify us, make us holy. And remember, God is very particular about holiness. Not only glory, but holiness. So oil is very much related to every activities, heavenly activities in God's realm, of His priesthood, of His temple. Everything related to God's work must be anointed.
Amen.
Otherwise, your work will mean nothing to Him. That doesn't mean that you will have no result of your work, but your result will not be accepted. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to experience the anointing of the Lord. Lord, You are the head. And this anointing only flows down from the head. So if you're not connected to the anointed head, you won't get the anointing. Are you the anointed one? No. Who is the anointed one? Christ. And He's the head. Psalm 133 says that it flows down from Aaron's head. Who is Aaron? Representing their Christ. And Christ is even higher than Aaron. He is according to the order of Melchizedek. Why is it a church does not have the anointing anymore? Because it's connected to the wrong head. You think the anointing flows down from the Pope's head? Sweat will fall down from the Pope's head. Whatever falls down from that head is not the anointing. The anointing only runs down and flows down from the head, Christ.
Amen.
That's what His name is called, Christ, yes. The Anointed One.
Yes.
And in this wonderful anointing oil, everything that we need is included. Every aspect of the Lord's work, in from incarnation all the way to ascension, everything is proportioned, included in this anointing concoction. That's why whatever God do, or whatever God does today, He will do it only by the anointing. That doesn't mean you don't do anything, but that you have to have His anointing to labor with Him together, yes. But it has to be according to Him. That's why the Lord told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured out. Don't do anything without the anointing. This is where we need the olive oil. And the olive oil comes from the olive trees. Do we have a plantation of olive trees in your inheritance, in this wonderful good land? Do we have a lot of olive trees without scarcity? Pure olive oil. And you know what Ansel Asher told me one day when I was there in Rome? I call this the golden oil. Why? Because it really looks like gold. And indeed, Zechariah chapter 4 says it's the golden oil.
Yeah.
What are these two trees Huazai produces the golden oil. Golden oil. It's a special kind of oil. Not canola. Not corn oil. Not coconut oil. Golden olive oil. Father God, this is important for us to know. The Holy Spirit has this wonderful characteristics, usefulness, purposes, right? The water of life in different forms and different places, brooks and fountains and springs and rivers. So clear, wonderful for us to drink, proceeding from the throne of the Lamb, from God and the Lamb, flowing out. And then you have the golden olive oil. Wow, for God's purpose, for every activity, the golden lampstands and the ointment, the anointing, teaching us, leading us, guiding us, doing all kinds of things for us. This is the Spirit. If you have the reality, show me. Show me what the anointing has done through you. Don't think you have the anointing and nothing happens. And you're very happy. What are you happy about? I'll ask you. Well, we are very happy. Happy about what? In the day of Pentecost, so many things happen. But in our Pentecost, so called, nothing happens. We need to pray, says Lord.
Amen.
We need your anointing.
Amen.
Do anoint us.
Yes.
We want to experience not just the life within us, but we want to be for the fulfillment of God's plan.
Yes.
That's why Christ is the anointing. The anointed one sent by God.
Amen.
If he is sent by God, he must have a purpose, right? That's why we need today to experience Christ as our burnt offering, to know what God exactly wants to do.
Amen.
How many of us really all the time have been asking the Lord, how are we going to finish your work today before you come back? In this last race, I want to know what to do.
Amen.
I want to know what you are doing. And for that, it's not the life, life, life. It's anointing, anointing, anointing.
Amen.
It's not water, water, water. It's oil, oil, oil. And the oil makes you run fast. Right? So that you go smoothly. Like the engine. Don't put water in your engine. Put the best grade of oil. So that your car will run smoothly. Praise the Lord. Right. Amen. We continue tomorrow.